Okay, so we are on Rosh Hashanah, Perek Bet, the second chapter, last two Mishnayot, 8 and 9. I hope to be able to finish today. 8 and 9 is going to talk a little bit more about different kinds of testimony that witnesses bring and how to determine if what they're saying is correct or not. And we're going to see that there were some interesting debates amongst the Hachamim about which kinds of witnesses, what kinds of testimonies to accept. And we're going to see also how mathematical calculations played a role even in situations where we have eyewitness testimony. We're going to see that there still is
We touched on that yesterday.
Yeah, we touched on it yesterday. Yes, we did. And we're going to further that discussion today when we see a little bit about the debates that they had and why they had some of these debates as to whether or not to accept certain testimonies based on mathematical calculations. Mm-hmm. So beginning in Mishnah 8, we read a lot about Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi. He was the head of the Jewish people post-second Beit HaMikdash. And he occupied the position of the Nasi, which one of the main elements of the Nasi was establishing the calendar. That was one of the main jobs. And so we see a lot about Rabban Gamliel and his family, because his family occupied that position for many years, have a lot of the traditions about how to set up the calendar and how to accept witnesses and things like that. Says the Mishnah, Dmut Surot Levanot Hayulo de Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, had a picture, had many, many pictures on his wall of different images of what the moon might look like. And so what he would do, Batavla, he had them in a chart, Ubakotel Ba'aliyato, on the wall of his apartment or home or whatever. Shibahen Mar'e Tahedyotot. He would use this to show simpletons, people who maybe couldn't articulate what it was that they saw or how they saw certain things. He would just go over to the wall and he would show them, ve'omer, he would say, ha-kazera'ite, did you see something like this? Or kazer, or did you see like this? Right? They would start to describe it and he would point to the different pictures to determine what it was that the people saw. Oh yeah, I saw like that. Oh, I saw like that. And based on what they saw, he would then determine whether or not to accept their testimony if what they saw was really the new moon in order to be able to sanctify the month. So that's the first bit of information they give us about Rabban Gamliel. Ma'aseh, there was a story that happened. Shebau Shnaim, two people came, ve'amru, and they said, Re'inuhu Shaharit ba'mizrah, we saw the moon early in the morning in the east, ve'arbit ba'ma'arav, and we saw it towards the end of the day in the west. What's happening here? Right? The witnesses are giving information about how they saw the moon. They say, when we woke up early in the morning, it was still dark out, right before sunrise, we saw the moon in the eastern part of the sky, and then we came here, and now it's the Arbit, and we're seeing the moon in the western part, but we saw the new moon, right? Now, that's not really possible, right? Such a testimony could never happen. You could never see the moon in two different places in the same day, once in the west, it doesn't happen. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, at least from our vantage point. But the moon doesn't change positions that drastically from the morning to the night. And so there was a little bit something fishy about what these witnesses were saying. Amar Rabbi Yohanan bin Nuri, a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yohanan bin Nuri, who was part of the court, said, Edeh sheker him. These are false witnesses, they're lying. Or maybe not intentionally, but their testimony cannot be accepted. We can't trust what they're saying because they're making a claim which doesn't make any sense. Yet, Keshebao leYavne, when they came to the city of Yavne where the Supreme Court stood, and Rabban Gamliel determined on it, Kibbelan Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel accepted their position, accepted their testimony, which is very strange.
Right.
How could Rabban Gamliel accept their testimony? Ve'od ba'ushnaim. Another similar example happened where two witnesses came. Ve'amru, they said, Re'inuhu bizmano. We saw the moon at its proper time. In other words, on the evening of the 30th day, right? The 29th day at night, we saw the moon. Ubelel iburo, but the following night, on night 31, lo nira.
Night 30,
it was seen.
30 after the...
Right, 30 and then... So night 31, right? What we call night 31.
Okay.
Right? So the first night of potentially Rosh Chodesh, they said we saw it. So they sanctified the new moon. And then the next night, when obviously they should be able to see it, lo nira, the moon was not visible. So many of the people said, it's not... These false witnesses, they must not have seen.
What? By the next day already, they came the second day, already it's automatic. In other words, if they didn't come till that following day, why do we need to take their testimony?
No, but the question was what they originally said the first day, was it true?
They came on the first day?
They came on the first day.
The second day and said, I saw this
no.
yesterday.
So it's a good question. There's a bit of a mahloket how to understand. The simple understanding is that the witnesses came,
what
right?
What are they coming back for?
No. The witnesses didn't come the second time. The people saw, right? The witnesses came the first night.
The people
and they
didn't
said,
see.
The people didn't see. They were supposed to see, but they didn't see. Right. In other words, the witnesses came the first night. No. The witnesses came the first night. They said, we see the moon.
Okay.
So they sanctified it.
Good.
The next night, everybody's expecting to see the moon, and it's not visible.
Good.
It's not visible. Yeah. And let's assume for a second that it was a clear night and whatever it is. They should have seen it, and they don't see it.
Okay.
So now everybody's in a panic. Right, they're saying, what's going on over here? There must be that the testimony that they brought to us yesterday was a false testimony. How could they have seen it yesterday and now it's not possible to be visible today? Doesn't make sense. Something's not computing.
Yeah, but it has to be visible by that second day. Because that second day is already the full month. So, what, you know what I'm trying to say? No, it's either 29 or 30. It has to be seen on one of those 2 days. On a clear night.
Right.
So what's the thing?
Potentially.
So what are they coming to do? Well, the guy didn't come on the 28th.
Right.
But maybe he did.
No, it wouldn't take it if that was.
The whole idea here is that if you look at the next line, Amar Bidosa ben Harkinas, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas said, Ede Shekir him. These are false witnesses. Why? Heach me'idim al ha'isha shi'alada. How could they testify about a woman that she gave birth? Ulemahar, and the next day, Keresa ben Shineha. They see she's pregnant. Right? In other words, it's a metaphor like, how could they have seen it the first night and not the second night? Right? So they're having a problem with this. Right? You're saying, either way,
that
they should have seen it on the next night.
Because didn't we learn yesterday that the second day doesn't even need to be that you take it for granted?
But because it's automatic.
Right.
Right, because it's automatic.
So that second night, they have to have seen it. What does it mean they didn't see it that night?
Maybe it was bad weather. Maybe it's opposite of what you said, Rabbi.
And they wouldn't come to say that they were false the day before.
Uh-huh. Right, they wouldn't say it's a false witness.
I'm trying to see if anybody... Right,
it says... mean that after the 28th entered, the 29th day comes, starts.
Right.
29th day, right, starts, let's say, 450 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The guy comes that night. I saw the moon. The next day now, 3:30, the people saying, we don't see it.
They're saying during the day.
During the day. So it's really the same day. It's the next day, but the same day. In terms,
but he's not seeing it because it's daylight?
No, he's not seeing it because it's not yet the 30th. It's possible, if it's not the 30th yet, that you don't see it. By the 30th, it has to be seen.
The problem is that the language is ubelela iburo lo nir'a. Lela iburo would be the night which we would extend, the second night, they didn't see it. Seems to be that.
Unless it could be not visible until the end of the 30th. Meaning it's maybe that's, I don't know the calculation.
It seems like we're looking for a molad where there's a conjunction and there's an ability to see it. Meaning that the molad, sometimes the new moon can the moon can technically be reappeared, conjunction could occur where it's the new month, but it's not maybe visible to the naked eye. That's the idea.
I'm saying,
meaning automatically by calculation it is, but potentially that they didn't. What they're saying is not.
Night, maybe it's not visible on the 30th. Maybe there's possibility that you have to wait until later in the
right.
night.
That's what I'm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Depending
on
when.
Time of day.
Yeah,
certain time within the night.
Automatic Rosh Chodesh. If you don't see it on the.
It could be later in the night. It could be early in the night. But they
don't necessarily.
But they're saying if they already saw it. Right, meaning, if they didn't see it the night before, so then by this time it makes sense. Maybe they didn't see it. It might be later on in the night, right? But it's automatic Rosh Chodesh. But if you're telling us that we saw it, then right away at the beginning of the 31st night, they should be able to see it, and they're not able to see it. I mean, yesterday when they saw it, they didn't really see it because we're not going to see it till later. I think that would be the interpretation.
But he accepted their testimony.
So it says, but he accepted their testimony, right? Aban Gamliel accepted their testimony despite this fact. Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua said, Ro'e ani et devarecha. Rabbi Yoshua agreed with Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas that he shouldn't have accepted those witnesses. So we have two stories in our Mishnah about witnesses who made claims which seemed to be false, and other rabbis who say we can't accept their testimony. How are you accepting it? And Rabban Gamliel, despite that fact, accepts the testimony.
But the second case, still, I don't get how they can say, how could you accept their testimony? You wouldn't know till the next day. You accepted their testimony. The first case, I understand. You're questioning them because you're saying...
Meaning, no, they want Rabban Gamliel to redo and redo the Rosh Chodesh.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, why not? You could say, we made a mistake last night. Those were false witnesses. We're going to establish today as Rosh Chodesh, and that's the end of it, right? Because now, in essence, what they're saying is that Rabban Gamliel, you accepted yesterday 29, so that means you put today as number one. No, today needs to be 30. Tomorrow needs to start one. They have a dispute. They want him to undo the Rosh Chodesh, right? And Rabban Gamliel refused to. He said, no, I'm accepting the witnesses. I'm not changing my mind, right? So really, what is this all based on? The commentaries over here explain that Rabban Gamliel accepted the testimony of these two sets of witnesses, despite the fact that there was problems in their testimony, because according to his mathematical calculations, that's what should have been. The Rosh Chodesh should have been cited on that night, on those different various nights. So even though the witnesses came and made some erroneous claims, right? Because he knew that there was a possibility of being Rosh Chodesh that night based on his mathematical calculation, he was willing to accept portions of the witnesses' testimony. In other words, when they said in the beginning, we saw it in the morning in the east and in the evening in the west. Okay, so he knew that that was not possible, but he said maybe what they saw in the morning, according to my calculations, was in fact the moon. The fact that they saw something else in the evening, I don't know, they made a mistake, whatever. It was right, but mathematically, what they saw in the morning should have been it. So I'm going to accept it, even though their whole testimony is not correct. So here's where the mathematical calculations of Rabban Gamliel played a very large role in determining what witnesses saw and when you could accept witnesses, even though they may have put in details in their testimony that were not possible.
Right.
The other rabbis of this Mishnah either argued from one of two perspectives. Either A, your mathematical calculations don't make a difference because we can only accept the testimony based on the testimony. Or those rabbis had different mathematical calculations than Rabban Gamliel. And so really the argument here is not about testimony, it's really about what your mathematical calculations are.
I don't have a problem with the first one.
Yeah.
The first one's pretty easy to understand.
Right. So that's the mahloket over here. This Mishnah leads us into the next Mishnah, as we're going to see what happens now. You have an argument. Rabban Gamliel thinks Rosh Chodesh should be this day. These other rabbis are saying, no, Rosh Chodesh should be this day. Rabban Gamliel is the head of the court. He establishes this day as being the day. So now, that's what we're going to see. The Mishnah is going to now talk about what do we do in such a situation. So look what Rabban Gamliel did. It's a fantastic story. Many people, it's very, very famous, very well known. It's mentioned in Masechet Berachot and in other places also. Rabban Gamliel now, playing off of the end of Mishnah 8, has a dispute with other rabbis about when Rosh Chodesh should be. Now that has tremendous ramifications because depending on when Rosh Chodesh is, that's when the holidays are going to come. So look what happened. In Mishnah 9, Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua was his counterpart who disagreed with Rabban Gamliel and felt that Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas was correct in dismissing the testimony of those witnesses and not accepting their Rosh Chodesh. What did Rabban Gamliel send Rabbi Yehoshua? He told him, Gozreni alecha, I'm decreeing upon you, Shetavoitzli, that you should appear before me, b'makilcha u'b'ma'otcha, with your stick and your money, Beyom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, Shehal Hiyot B'Heshbonach. That comes out according to your calculation. You and I disagree about when Yom Kippur is. A day later, I want you to come on the day that you think it's Yom Kippur and appear before me with your stick and your money.
If you're so right.
No, the opposite. To show that I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
And I'm not allowing you to accept your position. So Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yehoshua, after hearing this message, got very, very upset. He was very distressed. Halach, he went. Umetzao Rabbi Akiva metzir. Rabbi Akiva, one of his friends, found Rabbi Yehoshua very depressed. Amarlo, and he found out obviously why Rabbi Yehoshua was depressed. Amarlo, Rabbi Akiva tried to comfort Rabbi Yehoshua. He said to him, Yesh li lilmod, it is possible for me to learn and to understand. Shekol ma she'asa Rabban Gamliel asui. Whatever Rabban Gamliel did, it's done. You should follow what he says. And I could prove to you that the Torah wants you to do that. How? Shene'emar, the Pasuk says, Ele moade Adonai mikra'e kodesh asher tikre'u otam b'moadam. These are the holidays, the times of God, mikra'e kodesh, that you shall call them holy, sanctified, asher tikre'u otam, that you shall call to them b'moadam, in their time. Rabbi Akiva, he learned, ben bizmanam, ben shelo bizmanam, whether they're at the correct time or in the incorrect time, whether Beit Din made the right decision or the wrong decision, it doesn't make a difference. Once Beit Din make the decision, that's the time, and everybody has to accept it. So Rabbi Akiva tried to show Rabbi Yeshua, you might be right, objectively, that we should not have made Rosh Chodesh on the day of Rabban Gamliel. But Rabban Gamliel is the head of the court. Once they do it, the Torah itself is telling you, even when Beit Din make a mistake, this is how the calendar shakes out, and you have to follow what they say.
Chaos.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The place doing thing on one day, and they go, and you know.
Exactly. 100%. So the Torah is built in that system, and so Rabbi Akiva told this to Rabbi Yoshua to comfort him, to say, follow, give in to Rabban Gamliel, even though you know you're right, and follow his words.
So God would be wrong, and the whole thing.
Balo etzel Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas. Rabbi Yoshua went to the other rabbi, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, the one who originally told him to dismiss the witnesses in the previous Mishnah. Amarlo, he said, "Im ba'im anu nidun ahar bet dino shel Rabban Gamliel." And Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas supported Rabbi Akiva's position that you should accept Rabban Gamliel's statements. He said, "Why? If we come to judge the court of Rabban Gamliel and look into and investigate all of the times that he made Rosh Chodesh, tzerichim anu ladun ahar kol bedin ubedin she'amad mimot Yoshua Moshe ve'ad achshav. We would have to go back and investigate all of the different actions from every Supreme Court body from now all the way since Moshe Rabbeinu. We'd have to go back and look at it and say, did they do this right? Did they do that right? We'd have chaos. We can't keep investigating each bit deep.
Right.
Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, Vaya'al Moshe ve'aharon nadav avihu v'shvim zikne Yisrael. The Pasuk says that Moshe went up to Har Sinai together with Aharon, together with Nadav and Avihu, Aharon's sons, and 70 of the elders of Bnei Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, V'lama lo nitparshu shemotam shel zekenim. Why didn't it tell us all of the 70 names of the different elders? Told us the names of Aharon and his sons. Tell us the name of the elders. Ela lelamed, the Torah is hinting to you over here that it's not just these 70 elders. It's any body of 70 elders from that time till wherever it will be that carry authority.
They don't want to be specific
exactly.
To those names.
Ela lelamed, to teach you, shekol shlosha u'shlosha she'amdu bedin al Yisrael, any three people that establish a court amongst Am Yisrael, harehu kebedino shel Moshe. It is as if they are like the court of Moshe Rabbeinu. They carry that power. Don't think, oh, you're not as powerful. No, they carry that kind of weight. And so therefore, we have to treat each of them like the Beit Din of Moshe. We're not going to go back and investigate every single one of them. After hearing these two rabbis comfort him, Rabbi Yehoshua decided to give in. Natal, he went and he took maklo, he took his stick, uma'utav biyado, and he took his money with him. V'halach leYavne, and he went to Yavne etzel Rabban Gamliel, to Rabban Gamliel, b'yom shehal yom haKippurim liyot b'cheshmono, on the day that Yom Kippur fell out according to Rabbi Yoshua's calculation. In other words, he wanted to show that he accepted the ruling of Rabban Gamliel. Amad Rabban Gamliel, when Rabban Gamliel saw him, he stood up in front of Rabbi Yoshua, u'neshako al rosho, and he kissed him on his head. Amar lo, he said to him, Rabban Gamliel said to Rabbi Yoshua, bo b'shalom, come in peace, Rabbi v'talmidi, my rabbi and my student.
The rabbi is telling him.
Rabban Gamliel, who's the head of the Supreme, is telling Rabbi Yoshua, come in peace, my rabbi and my teacher and my student. Why did he refer to him as a teacher and student? He said, Rabbi b'chokhma, you are my teacher in terms of wisdom. I recognize that you have more wisdom than me. And you're more brilliant than me. But in the end of the day, v'talmidi, you're my student, shekibalta et devarai, that you accepted my ruling. This was a very tricky position Rabban Gamliel was in. On the one hand, he viewed Rabbi Yoshua as a greater Torah scholar than he. In terms of smarts and scholar and wisdom, Rabbi Yoshua beat Rabban Gamliel. The problem was that Rabban Gamliel occupied, because of a family tradition, he occupied a very prominent position in Am Yisrael, which was the position of the Nasi, the Prime Minister. He could not relinquish the power of that of that job. He had to unify the body of Am Yisrael underneath that government.
Sure.
And so he couldn't show weakness in that regard. And so he's telling here, he and Rabbi Yehoshua reconcile here in this story to a certain degree by telling him, I recognize that you're right and that you're brilliant, but I have a responsibility to uphold the tradition of my family and to have a unified governing body. I can't let anybody undermine the power of that position. And so I praise you that you're my rabbi in wisdom, and I also praise you that at certain points you have to act like my student to accept my rulings, even though they're not the same as yours. There's an interesting dynamic and psychology between these two rabbis about what goes on here. One big takeaway, though, is when it comes to setting the calendar, God gives the power to us to set our calendar, and God reacts accordingly. In other words, our days.
So I got everything you said. Yeah. So I don't really understand the whole purpose. I mean, I understand, but the whole purpose of the witnesses, if this is what we're saying.
If you have the mathematical calculations.
Yeah. In other words, and even with this case where you're saying it's false, in other words, it's a flawed system is what I'm trying to say. And then
I would say the opposite. If you only went based on the witnesses, you'd be leaving yourself open to a lot of potential problems.
Opposite. Why have the witnesses at all?
So you're saying why have the witnesses at all?
Yeah.
In the end of the day, the Torah, it's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. The Torah uses eyewitness testimony for a lot of things, for criminal cases, for monetary cases, and the same goes over here. They determined that the way we're going to figure things out is we give the power to you to do it, and we don't want things to necessarily be calculated astronomically. That's more like mathematics, it's like God's thing. We want it to be handed the power to the Jewish people. So mathematical calculations can help us, but they can only take us so far. There has to be a partnership between the two. Today we use the mathematical calculations purely because we don't have the bit din, but it seems like
you wouldn't need it anyway because everything is so precise today.
Right. It's not different. So much about accuracy as much as it is about giving the power and the partnership between us and God to determine our calendar and our holidays. That seems to be really where the heart of the issue lies. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. It's not a great answer, but it's the one thing that I can think of at this point. I have to think a little bit more about it. But certainly mathematical calculations played a very important role. Okay, so we concluded the second chapter. Tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, we will begin Perek 3, which is going to give us one Mishnah, a little bit more about this, and then it's going to get into the laws of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to switch gears. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.